Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. Good to be back on the other side of the pond, eh, Mikey?
Great to be back on the other side of the pond. Although, the far side, I was okay with it.
Yeah, me too.
Skeptical going in, pleasantly surprised coming out.
Yeah, most of my issues with it had to do with two red-eye flights over a four-day span and a five-hour time difference. But, hey, you know, people don't want to hear about me complaining about my job. But, yeah, you know what else? I will say this. Besides them, they were friendly, and it's a great city, and I wish I had more time to explore it.
I think I'll go back.
If I can get a raise. the knowledge of the sport over there is it impressed me. Let me say this. I don't want to try and gauge it or compare it, but I was impressed by the knowledge of the sport over there. And let me tell you, the one thing that really opened my eyes, we were at a fan fest on Saturday, and the guy who was running it, the MC, was kind of, he was telling jokes and stuff too. So what didn't seem to me that, you know, he was any kind of football expert, but he mentioned something about, we may have to go to, somebody's not here, we may have to go to Plan B. And then he said, well, what that used to be a kind of free agency in the NFL. And I thought, for this guy to know that, that's some serious back in the day knowledge before this current CBA. So that was late 80s, early 90s, Plan B. And this guy was obviously, as Ike would know, had a British accent. So that opened my eyes a little bit.
Yeah, they studied it. They've done their homework, the people that like it. And there are more of them than I thought. It's interesting when you're hanging out with family, as I was at times, and they're wearing team memorabilia, team merchandise, and people are coming up, and that becomes a conversation starter. Some of the stuff I heard really surprised me.
Okay, on to the bad news. The reason we actually went over there. 0-4, we all have talked about this, that was kind of like crossing the Rubicon, 0-4. I don't think you really think that way just yet, though.
Well, not after Cincinnati lost to Cleveland and Baltimore lost to Buffalo, no. Here's the reality of it, and I know 0-4, it is what it is, to use the cliche.
0-4 is 0-4.
Yeah. The only thing worse is 0-5, right?
But yeah.
If the Steelers, let's just play the what-if game because Bill Cowher's not here and we're allowed to play that now. If the Steelers were 2-2 and everybody else in the division were 4-0, would everybody be saying the season's over?
No.
So the reality is they are two games behind the pack in their division. And that's a bad start, but I don't think it's fatal. Not yet.
The one thing I'm going to say and try and promise to the listeners for the rest of this season is I am no longer going to be hoodwinked by the P word, which is potential, and try and project that someone who what someone who hasn't really done it yet in the NFL might be able to do in the NFL and contribute to a team in the NFL. And the other thing I'm not going to do anymore is look in the rearview mirror and long for the days of old in terms of, as Jerry Glanville says, NFL stands for not for long. It's also a what have you done for me lately? And so this is now the way I'm going to try to look at this team in terms of what it actually is now, not what some components of it once were and what some components of it could still become if. They're not good enough. They're just not.
Makes some sense, but you could also, if we want to get into reality with both feet and...
No, I don't want to do that. I just want to be right.
You know, totally live in the here and now. They were 6 yards away on Sunday, at least from overtime. So as...
What do you call it when you're 6 yards away from winning?
Losing.
That's exactly.
But does that mean that those 6 yards, to borrow from an English war movie, are a bridge too far?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. When I say they're not good enough, I'm saying they're not good enough right now. I'm not saying they never can be good enough, but it only matters now. This offensive line in 2 years might be what the 49ers offensive line is, and you know, we're going to be in here raving about it constantly.
Or it could have five different guys
on it. I just find it I don't know. I'm honked off like the fans. I mean, to some degree, yeah. I mean, this is disappointing. And I'm also like you, I was really, really never expecting this. I was going to use the F word, fooled, but I don't want to do that yet.
How about flummoxed?
But, you know, this is...
I'm out of F words that we could use in this format.
Yeah, well, we don't do that. This is a family program. I don't know. I'm not saying that I had any answers ever, but I'm running even out of even trying to explain or and certainly predict. I'm 0 for whatever that is, too.
I understand where you're coming from. I'm kind of there myself off this Minnesota game just because I was getting the problems that the offense was having early on. Losing Marquise Pouncey 8 games into the season.
No.
Or eight plays. Thank you. I told you I'm flummoxed.
Oh, yeah.
8 plays into the season. There's shell shock associated with that. But then it starts to come together a little bit. You get a Heath Miller back. Now you've got, after you add Fernando Velasco, you have a legitimate NFL center, who I think is playing fine, by the way.
Right, absolutely.
So now you're fixing this a little bit. You got the center position stabilized. Now you get your all-pro caliber tight end back. And I know he's never made the all-pro, but I think he is.
All-pro caliber. I'm not going to argue. Yeah.
And then last time out, Le'Veon Bell finally shows up on the scene. And what did you see there that you didn't like? So it seems like progress is being made. The big pinprick in that balloon was big plays repeatedly given up by a defense that
couldn't tackle, is
designed not to do that and rarely does.
And on those occasions, couldn't tackle.
And that was enough to get you beat.
Right. And they tackled at training camp.
Yeah, good thing, huh?
Well, I mean, and again, I thought, hey, that I don't think practicing it in training camp caused them to blow it in the game. But, I mean, I'm just saying that even that seemed to be something that was planned for. Yeah. You know, we're going to prepare so that we are able to do this.
And getting specific with that, not to put it all on Cortez Allen, but what was the preseason game where he was just slamming people to the ground?
Oh, right.
Putting on a physical display of run-stopping cornerback play and getting guys to the ground cornerback play, and then he broke down.
And the other, I remember several plays as well where tight end coverage tackling a guy before the sticks. You know, 3rd and 8, 5-yard completion, boom, tackled right there, punt. I mean, yeah. But, you know, this, it just seems, something seems to find a way to break down at the critical moment. And it's always something different, or it has been. And it always is what gets them beat. Sometimes this is, every team has an identity. I hope against all hope that I'm wrong about this. But it's now looking to me, 4 games in, like this is this team's early season identity.
That's the evidence so far. Yeah. Now you're a quarter of the way through. So is that mean that's where they're going, or do they find a way to stop the bleeding? And you got to wonder at this point what a win would do for the team. Can everyone just exhale and, okay, got that behind us. Now let's play ball. Or is the pressure mounting to the degree that that's just – not going to happen for a while yet, and when it finally does, it's going to be way too late.
Well, those are some very interesting questions you pose right there, and tomorrow we will bring you all the answers or not. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola.
At the current time.
Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.
Joe.